This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Big night in Las Vegas. It's Blues Awards night. This Blues celebration will continue for weeks, months, years. And it's affected so many different people. And perhaps the person who enjoyed it the most was a 55-year-old former St. Louisan now living in Pueblo, Colorado. His name is David Jacober. He's an Army vet, 10 years, policeman in Pueblo for about 20 years. David was diagnosed with an aggressive cancer earlier this year, and he has always been a passionate Blues fan. He watches every game. In fact, the Blues, Chris Kerber specifically, made arrangements for David to meet Vladimir Tarasenko in Denver. He joins us now. David, welcome to the program. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, Frank. Thanks for having me.
I saw the video of you watching the final moments of Game 7. Put it into words what that was like for you.
It was almost slow motion for me. I mean, it was kind of surreal because for 49 years, we've been waiting for this. Excuse me, to return back to the Cup Finals. And, you know, we're at Game 7, and for 49 years, I've had my heart broken. So I'm thinking, is this really going to happen? And my son, who's 20, excuse me, he goes to college in Minnesota. He's sitting right next to me, and I kind of turned him into a Blues monster as well. I mean, he follows him almost as deeply as I do. And we were just looking at each other. And we're holding each other's hand, hoping this is really going to come to fruition. And sure enough, we were just staring at the television set. We did a countdown, I think, from 10 to 1, and it was just, you know, I don't have the vigor anymore with the cancer to spring out of my chair and go crazy like I did in 2011 for the Cardinals. But it was just, I looked at my wife and said, get the hat, get the T-shirt, let's get cranking. And it was just surreal. It was certainly, for me, a dream come true. Because I am considered terminally ill. I'm not giving up, and there is no giving up. So when the time comes, the time comes. But I know I didn't have a lot of time left. And I just couldn't wait for this to happen.
And we know what you're going through. Well, we actually don't, but the chemo treatments are brutal, according to all reports. How have the Blues and this run kind of helped you get through that horrible process?
Well, I'm not gonna lie here. Back in January, when they were in the basement, I looked at Cameron, my son. I said, "Man, this is done. There's no way." And he said, "Dad, trust me." So I trusted him, and that was right around the time when I was really at my worst as far as my illness, brain radiation, chemotherapy, the whole thing. So that was the kind of hope that I had. And I've always joked that if the Blues ever won a cup, I'd die a happy man. Well, I'd kind of like to retract part of that, but it's a little late. But, you know, when I knew that I had to, for two reasons, fight this cancer, was because of my wife and my son. And then third of all, I knew that, you know, it's not over till it's over, and hopefully the Blues can pull it out. And that, frankly, gave me a little more power or strength to continue living, if you will, so that I can see this happen. So it was really, for me, it was very dramatic and effective because I watched every single game, every single night here at home in Pueblo. And, you know, when we would each win, I have more hope. And then some of that would be dashed a bit when they'd lose a game or whatever. But it was, for me, it was a lot of energy, very positive energy. You know, there's a lot. The medications we take for this are just brutal, along with the chemo and the radiation. It's just brutal stuff during the week after those treatments. So for me to get this positive energy was almost better for medicine for me to try to heal or get better than actually taking the chemicals that are killing the cancer, but kind of killing me too, you know?
What do the doctors tell you, David?
Well, we can't really pin them down. They don't want to give you any false hope, but they don't want to, I can't imagine what it's like to be an oncologist, to tell people on a daily basis you're dying, because that's basically their job, treat you until you die. So I've been told that when I was first that ill was weeks to months with no treatment, and then with chemo and radiation, it could be maybe a year, maybe two if I was lucky. And I said, well, then I only have one choice, and that's number two, and that's to go fight it, take the treatments. And my folks were out here. They were a huge help when they were out here to assist my wife and I and Cameron. Cameron's already in school. But my dad would drive me to chemo and radiation. My brother, Jeff, came out here a couple times, and he drove me to some treatments. So I've had a lot of very positive family support. The Pueblo Police Department's been phenomenal. The Blues have been amazing. I'm 6 months into this. Nobody thought I'd be alive at this point. And, you know, my wife and I look at each other every morning. And every morning that I wake up and see her beautiful face is a good day for me. It's a bonus day. So, you know, we look at that and we just keep fighting. So we're hoping for obviously the 1 to 2 year extension, but they're just not going to give me a firm answer, and they won't. I've got tumors pretty much everywhere. My spine, I had one in my brain. I got a fractured hip that's stable, but they can't do anything about it. So I got to limp around on that. So it's been a rough battle. I got to be honest with you. And I've got friends back in St. Louis I went to high school with and I served in the Army with that have hit me up a lot. And we talk a lot online and so forth. But it's just when they say it's a battle, they're not kidding. And it's not just a battle by me. My wife and son, they're fighting it along with me. And I can't mention enough about my community, my police department, folks back in St. Louis. The Cardinals have sent me a bunch of stuff to try to raise my spirits and so on. So Gary Unger sent me some photographs from Canada that were autographed. So it's just pretty much it's a struggle, but it's a struggle I'm willing to fight.
You know, you mentioned Gary Unger. I was just about to bring this up. I imagine knowing your age, Gary Unger was probably your first real hockey hero?
You know, my first hockey hero was Barkley Plager.
Okay.
He's my last one. I mean, I was a big fan of McInnes. I was a big fan of Hall. But I got to tell you that when I was a little boy, the name Barkley Plager just stuck to me. And he's always been my favorite. That's my favorite number. That's my uniform number when I play hockey. So that was my favorite player. And I remember seeing Barkley when he was deathly ill with cancer. He's sitting in one of the press boxes at the old barn, and he was very frail and fragile, but he shook my hand. I didn't have the guts to ask him for an autograph because I knew he was so ill, but he was there. And it was just amazing to watch a guy that ill, that old, being at the arena to enjoy hockey still. So that was my first. That was my first player crush, if you want to call it that.
Were you ever up in the booth with your father when he was doing games?
You know, Frank, I think I probably spent more time in the booth than I did in the homework. because frankly, I wanted to be a cop since I was 16. But it was one of those things, at 16, you just don't know what's going to happen. So every chance I had that I could sweet-talk him into driving me down there with him, I would go. And, you know, some people, why didn't you get into the business, that kind of stuff. Looking back on it, I have often asked myself that. Why didn't I go into broadcasting or whatever? Because I like it. I love the sport. But it was just a path I didn't choose. But I spent a lot of time standing behind him. I was at the Monday Night Miracle. I wasn't in the booth, but I was in the stands. It was interesting to watch my father and Dan Kelly operate together. I will say that. I thought that was a pretty nice combination. And Dan was always very kind to me. He asked me one time that he heard I wanted to be a member of the constabulary. And I didn't even know what the constabulary was. But he meant police in Canada. So, I mean, just a very gracious man. And to sit there and watch my dad and Dan work then I'd go home and then back to school the next day, which, you know, was no fun. But, you know, I probably should spend more time in the books, though.
Well, I think you actually chose the right profession, all right? You chose to defend our country and help the people in Pueblo. I think you chose a much more noble profession than talking about sports on TV or radio, I got to tell you, David.
Well, I appreciate that.
So you wanted to get to the parade, I imagine, but physically you're not ready to make a move like that yet.
Right. When Cameron, we talked about it the week before. We didn't want to jinx anything. Because hockey players Cameron plays as well, and we were very superstitious. So we wore a blue sweater one night during one of the games, and they lost. Cameron looked at me and said, "Don't wear sweaters." So we didn't wear a sweater the rest of the playoffs. So he looked at me about a week before, and he said, "Dad, if they win, I'm going." "What do you mean you're going? I mean, I know you're a 20-year-old man, but how are you getting there?" So he did. He worked out the logistics, and he went and stayed with my folks and saw my brother, and I really wanted to go. I was so jealous. I did watch it on television, but I really wanted to go. But you're correct. I cannot travel that far, if you will. I can go about as far as Denver because of treatment scheduling and the effects that I have from the treatments. The one thing I'm doing this Saturday is I'm dropping a ceremonial first puck for an event in Denver by a Dog Nation Foundation. It's a hockey foundation for people who have had terminal illnesses, severe injuries, whatever the case may be. They've donated millions to people who need financial help. So they're having a survivor's game. Well, my hockey days are over, but they've asked me to come up and drop the first puck because they're going to have the survivor's game with a bunch of folks out there, sled hockey, that sort of thing. So I can make trips like that. We're really working on trying to get back to St. Louis. I miss my St. Louis food, White Castles, Emos, that kind of stuff. So if we can get there, we're hoping to get there maybe later this summer, early this fall.
Boy, how about opening night at the Enterprise Center next year? That would be perfect for you.
That, you know what? That would probably just be the cherry on top of the whipped cream, I got to tell you. Just to see that place, because I was shocked. In all honesty, Frank, I was shocked to see Busch and Enterprise filled the way they were on non-baseball nights, like Busch, for example. And at the Enterprise when they were playing in Boston. I was flabbergasted when I saw how many people were in those stands and watching on the Jumbotron. But that's a big statement. As far as I'm concerned, that's a big statement for the city of St. Louis and hockey or sports fans in general in St. Louis. Is win or lose, we're still there. You know, here in Denver, up north in Denver, when the Avalanche are in a slump, the fans are in a slump. It's just they're not like we are back there, where there's always hope. So opening night would be almost like the Monday Night Miracle without all the pounding on the floors and hollering and screaming that some of us maniacs back on the Monday Night Miracle were acting like. But there would be something else. I would deny that at all.
David, thanks so much for your time. Thanks for your service to our country. We're going to be praying for you, and I hope to see you opening night at the Enterprise Center next fall. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Frank.
All right. That's David Jacober, lifelong Blues fan, the son of Ron Jacober, joining us from Pueblo, Colorado. All right. God bless Mr. Jacober from Tim Van Gelded. All right. Before we go to break, I do want to tell you about one of our outstanding sponsors on the press box, and that is the Gatesworth, finest in senior living. If you're looking for a place for mom or dad, aunt or uncle, grandma or grandpa, look no further than the Gatesworth. The answer is always yes when you call down to the front desk. 170 in Del Mar, 1 McKnight Place, the food, the activities. They treat everybody just so well. And, of course, Maryville, they are the sponsor of the phone lines, which just brought us Mr. Jacober. Go to maryville.edu for more information about that terrific school. Lonnie Folks is the athletic director. Their sports are outstanding. Mark Stricker and that basketball program, the baseball program, the soccer, they just do extremely well. They made that move to Division II, and it's a good move for them. We'll take a break. We're coming right back after this.